Roll call, Madam Clerk.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Crane?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Ms. Bartoszewski?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Here.
Ms. Troll?
Here.
Ms. White?
Here.
Mayor Sanford?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. And for our special order of business today, we have a Purple Heart City Proclamation. And this is something that I noticed a couple of months ago and thought it would be nice for us to be able to do for our veterans and our people who have been either wounded or killed in action for our community and our citizens. She's getting the microphone. She won't cut in any slack. And so I'll read the proclamation. I don't have anybody here. Anybody here a veteran? Wounded?
How about just a veteran?
No, you're not here to pass away.
Oh.
Okay. From the Office of the Mayor, City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, Mayoral Proclamation. Whereas the people of the City of Juneau have great admiration and the utmost gratitude for all the men and women who have selflessly served their country and this community in the armed forces, and whereas veterans have paid the high price of freedom by leaving their families and communities and placing themselves in harm's way for the good of all, and whereas the contributions and sacrifices of the men and women from Juneau who have served in the armed forces have been vital in maintaining the freedoms and way of life enjoyed by our citizens. And whereas many men and women in uniform have given their lives while serving in the armed forces. And whereas many citizens of our community have earned the Purple Heart Medal as a result of being wounded while engaged in combat with an enemy force, construed as a singularly meritorious act of essential service. And whereas August 7th has officially been designated as the day in Juneau, Alaska, to remember and recognize veterans who are recipients of the Purple Heart Medal. Now, therefore, I, Merrill Sanford, Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, on behalf of the City and Borough Assembly, do hereby proclaim the City of Juneau a Purple Heart City, honoring the service and sacrifice of our nation's men and women in uniform, wounded or killed by the enemy, while serving to protect the freedoms enjoyed by all Americans. In witness whereof, I have hereto set my hand and caused the seal of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, to be affixed this 10th day of August, 2015. Mayor Sanford, Mayor. News media, pick up on that and say something in your paper, please. And the city manager said that we were going to put out a news release on it in the next couple of days, so that'll be nice. If you happen to know a veteran who has received the Purple Heart, please say thank you for their service to them. Okay, we'll move forward to approval of minutes. We have before us the July 20th, 2015 regular assembly meeting number 2015-21. Are there any changes or corrections to these minutes?
I think that I gave to the secret. I think she's going to check something that Mr. Keel said to make sure that we have it down right. Sorry, I should have had that page. It's on page 9 of 20, at the top.
Make sure I can just skip it.
Fifth, fourth row down, fourth line down, Oh, I was going to the bottom. I'm sorry.
Packet page number 18.
Packet 78.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I was going to the bottom.
We'll get used to that number.
I know.
Mr. Keel. Is what is said there what you said? Is it accurate?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Do you have a question, Ms. Becker?
I just going to ask you, would it be acceptable to put in, would not be?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. That's the reason I flagged it was because I wasn't sure. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Would not be.
Okay. So, is there any objections to adoption of the minutes 2015-21 as amended? Seeing none, so ordered. And we'll move forward to manager's request for agenda changes. And just to make sure you all understand, this is a little bit different format right here that the city manager and staff has put into our agenda, and those things that maybe we make recommendations on at some of the finance or some of the other big committees. We'll try to put them in here like this so that a lot of people look at just the minutes and not at the other sequence, and we lose the drift of what's going on in some of the things that we do because it's not in an agenda. So this way, as the city manager explained to me, we'll be able to follow right along. Madam Manager, anything on that?
Just that it was introduced at the last assembly meeting, so if people just tracked what was introduced, they would have assumed to see it tonight for public hearing, and we wanted to make sure people were notified that the assembly did take care of it, and they won't be seeing it tonight, instead of having people show up and then taking it off the agenda after they've already come down to testify on it.
All right. Thank you, Madam Manager. And we'll move forward to public participation on non-agenda items. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak to us on a non-agenda item? Talk about what?
Zoning for child care.
Okay. When that comes up, we'll ask for public comment, and you can talk on it. And then we have another person who wants to speak about a rezone, which is on the agenda. We'll speak to that when it comes up. Ms. Phillips, would you please stand? You've got to withstand these embarrassing times. Ms. Phillips has taken the place of Di, so whenever you've heard me or the city manager or staff talk about Di upstairs as our administrative assistants in our office, Susan has taken her place and is now our administrative assistant. So if you have dealings with the city manager or the mayor, she will handle those things completely without any of our help and take care of us very well. So welcome aboard, Suzanne.
Welcome.
Yep. All right. Thank you. And I didn't ask for a little bit of a different format there, but
okay.
It flowed right into that just fine. We'll move forward to the consent agenda. Is there anybody from the public who requests anything other than ordinance be pulled from the consent agenda? Seeing none, assembly requests for consent agenda changes. Seeing none and hearing none, assembly action, Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move we adopt the consent agenda and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections? All right, consent agenda has been adopted, And we'll move forward to the public hearing. Madam Clerk, will you please read the title to the first ordinance?
Ordinance 2014-24-AV, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $7,830 as funding to provide for commercial motor vehicle inspections, grant funding provided by the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
Thank you. And can we have the administrative report, Madam Manager?
Yes. The inspections are intended to determine the appropriateness of driver credentials as well as road worthiness of commercial vehicles, with the ultimate goal of improving commercial vehicle safety in Juneau. There is no match requirement for this grant. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on Ordinance 2014-24-AV? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We'll move forward to assembly action. Mr. Nan Curvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance 2014-24-AV and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Seeing none and hearing none, so ordered. Mr. Jones, you still with us?
I am, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. I'm going to have to staple these things together here. Okay, Madam Clerk, will you please read the title for Ordinance 2015-20E?
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $642,300 as a transfer to the general fund as partial funding for the Housing First Grant, funding provided by the sales tax funds in the Housing Land Development Capital Improvement Project, CIP D14095.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Administrative report, please.
CIP D14095 was never expended because the Assembly had not finalized an order of priority for CBJ's housing development projects. In lieu of placing the funds into the Peterson or Schweitzer CIPs, the Assembly decided to create a new CIP called Housing Land Development to hold the funds until the Assembly made the decision on transferring the funds. This funding represents a portion of the CBJ's $1.5 million commitment to the Juneau Housing First Project. After this appropriation is completed, CIP D1495 will be closed. The Finance Committee approved this action at its March 28, 2015 regular meeting and recommended forwarding to the full Assembly for approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. I will open this up to public comment. Anybody in the public wishes to comment on Ordinance 2015-20E, you're more than welcome to step forward. Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Ms. Kletoszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move Ordinance 2015-20E and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Seeing and hearing no objections, so ordered. Madam Clerk, please read the title, Ordinance 2015-20G.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $100,000 as funding for the Lemon Creek Gravel Scale Replacement Capital Improvement Project, CIP D14-020, funding provided by the Lands Fund's fund balance.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager, admin report.
The existing Lemon Creek truck scale, which serves two CBJ material sources in Lemon Creek, has worn out due to the point that it cannot be repaired and a replacement scale is necessary. This appropriation is required to establish a CIP for the purchase and installation of the replacement scale. The Lands Committee approved this action at its July 13, 2015 regular meeting and recommended forwarding to the full Assembly for approval. I recommend adoption of this ordinance.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on Ordinance 2015-20G? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move Ordinance 2015-20G and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so ordered. Madam Clerk, Will you please read the title for Ordinance 2015-28?
An ordinance authorizing the manager to accept the State of Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation's offer of Grant Amendment Number 1 for partial funding of the Salmon Creek Secondary Disinfection Capital Improvement Project and appropriating to the manager $3 million in additional grant funding provided by the State of Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Administrative report, please.
This grant has a 40% match requirement, which will be provided by the funds already in the CIP. If this ordinance passes, the total amount of grant funding in this project will be $4 million. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Are there anyone in the public who wishes to comment on this ordinance, Ordinance 2015-20H? Seeing public comment is closed, and we'll move forward to assembly action. Ms. Crane.
I move adoption of Ordinance 2015-20H and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. We'll move forward to item E. Madam Clerk, please read the title for Ordinance 2015-32.
An ordinance amending the land use code relating to child and daycare facilities.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager?
This ordinance would amend CBJ Title 49 as it relates to child and daycare homes and centers in order to address an identified need in the community for child care. This ordinance would amend the table of permissible use to expand where child care homes and centers can operate, would add minimum standards for these operations, and would amend the definition for child care centers and homes. At its regular public meeting on June 23, 2015, the Planning Commission adopted the analysis and findings of the Community Development Department's staff report and, with some revisions, recommended that the Assembly approve the ordinance. The Lands Committee considered the ordinance at its July 13, 2015 meeting and recommended that the Assembly approve the ordinance. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on 2015-32? Forward, ma'am, please. And we've got a special seat up here.
Right here.
And if you'll just give us your name and address.
My name is Abigail Campestani, and I'm at 3051 Riverwood.
You can talk right into the mic. That'd be great.
My husband and I moved here about a month ago, and he's on active duty with the Coast Guard. And I came here tonight to support this because had I known how severe the child care crisis was, we probably would not have come to Juneau. We have a 19-month-old at home, and I've been on a waiting list since February to get him into a daycare center with no identified date of when he'll be accepted. It looks from what I've seen online that this has been an ongoing issue for some time, and it looks like daycare centers run a very slim profit margin, and so by allowing more kids into a center, it opens up their ability to be sustainable. So I came.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank
Any
you.
Questions? Seeing none, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else in the public who wishes to comment on this particular ordinance? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action, Mr. Jesse Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of Ordinance Serial Number 2015-32, and I ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections?
Mr. Mayor, this is Mr. Jones. I would like to just ask a question.
Go ahead, Mr. Jones.
Thank you. In the revisions that I know the Planning Commission did was Department of Law had recommended some changes in which adult and children centers were combined, and one other change that the Planning Commission changed back to separate. And I just wanted to make sure that these changes, Department of Law didn't have any problems with.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Madam Lawyer.
We addressed some follow-up with the Planning Commission after the meeting, and we're satisfied with the direction the Planning Commission was going, which was to take the centers issue up at a later date.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have no objection.
You still object? You move your objection?
No, no, I said I remove my objection.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have unanimous consent? We have unanimous consent, so this ordinance has passed the assembly. And just to add a boy, this particular ordinance went fairly fast after it got off the ground and got running. At first it was a little bit slow, but good job to staff and everybody involved in it. So we'll move forward. Madam Clerk, will you please read next item, F, Ordinance 2015-33.
An ordinance amending the Uniform Sales Tax Code relating to the single item tax exemption.
Thank you. Madam Manager?
This ordinance would exclude jewelry sales from the single item sales tax cap exemption. The Finance Committee addressed this issue at its meetings on April 22nd and July 30th of 2015 and recommended forwarding this change to the full assembly for adoption. This ordinance would become effective January 1st, 2016 to allow for the current summer and holiday retail season to continue uninterrupted and to allow affected merchants adequate time to prepare. The Finance Committee considered this ordinance at its July 30th meeting and recommended forwarding to the full assembly for adoption. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. We'll move forward to public comment. Is there any public who wishes to comment on Ordinance 2015-33? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We'll move forward to assembly action. Ms. Troll.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance 2015-33 and ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. Is there any objections? Mr. Nankervis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I object.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Go ahead, Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to speak to my objection. I object for several reasons. One, as I've stated before, I think this unfairly targets one industry or something that we don't target anybody else on. Four, also I believe it's an attempt to address an issue that has anecdotally occurred, but that with our conversations with the finance department hasn't been substantiated. And for those two reasons, I don't support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Ms. Troll.
Thank you. I'd like to point out that this is not about singling out a single business. This is about getting our policy back to its original intent. The original intent was to ensure that large, expensive ticket items purchased by locals would have an incentive to purchase them here. And by making this change, our tax code then would be the same as Skagway in regards to jewelry sales. And the record of when that policy dealing with identifying items to be exempt from sales tax and setting an upper cap. It was always directed toward automobiles, electronics, and everything else. It was never intended to include jewelry. At least the record does not show that. So this is just getting us back to our original policy intent as opposed to trying to single out a particular industry.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. Anybody else? We have an objection. Madam Clerk.
Ms. Troll.
Yes.
Ms. White?
No.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Mayor Sanford?
No.
Motion carries.
Okay, so that passes. And we will move forward to the next item on our agenda, item G. Madam Clerk, could you please read the title for 2015-36?
An ordinance amending the official zoning map of the city and borough to change the zoning of USS 2386, Lot 10, J1 and J2, located near Glacier Highway at the south end of Auk Lake, from D1 transition to D10 to D3.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Madam Manager, will you please do the admin report for us?
Yes. These three lots were part of a larger transition area granted a zoning upgrade by the Planning Commission in November 2012 when it transitioned 49 lots east of the subject lots from D1 transition D10 to D10. The subject lots were not ready to be transitioned at that time. At the June 23, 2015 Planning Commission meeting, the Commission heard public testimony in the proposed transition. Based on the public testimony received, the Planning Commission declined to finalize the zoning upgrade and instead approved recommending to the Assembly a rezone of the three lots to D3. Two of the subject lots have a comprehensive plan land use designation of medium density residential, MDR. The third lot is designated MDR and urban low density residential, ULDR. The medium density residential designation calls for between 5 and 20 units per acre. The urban low density residential designation calls for 1 to 6 units per acre. Per CBJ 4975-120, restrictions on rezones shall only be approved upon a finding that the proposed zoning district and the uses allowed therein are in substantial conformance with the land use maps of the comprehensive plan. In considering rezoning requests, staff makes a threshold determination as to whether the proposed zoning district meets the density limitations specified by the land use designations of the comprehensive plan land use maps. And CBJ 4925-210B provides that D3 has a density of 3 units per acre, is located primarily outside the urban service boundary where public utilities are not provided, and that the limited amount of D3 zone land within the urban service boundary is appropriate where a lower density is deemed appropriate, or in the case of transition zones where the zone isn't intended to be changed to a higher density when sewer and water provided. At its meeting on July 13, 2015, the Lands Committee considered the Planning Commission's recommendation of D3 and recommended forwarding to the full Assembly for its approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. I will open this up for public comment. And first off, we have Mr. James Frankel.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for allowing me to come in and have a comment about this. I am one of the landowners. I share that land with my father-in-law and my wife. My wife is here now. And we attended that July meeting requesting that it be changed from D10 to D3. And at that meeting, it was brought to the attention of the Planning Commission that we were requesting, my wife, myself, and my father-in-law, we're requesting one additional unit. And so that was the reason I understood they wanted to go from D1 to D10 at that time. We were mentioned in the minutes of that meeting. But we only want to, on our lot, we only want to put one additional residence. And that one additional residence on my lot, which is a 0.9 acre, it's not quite an acre, is for the benefit of my mother-in-law, who's a cancer survivor, under 5 years. So we still don't know what her health is going to be. She's elderly. And my father-in-law is elderly, who also has some issues with ambulation. He recently had a knee operation done. So my wife and I want to take care of our elderly parents as long as we can. And with a 0.9 acre, we feel that one house is more than sufficient. One additional residence on our land. There were six of us who showed up on that meeting in July who voiced our opinion that we did not really want to see it go to D10 based on a couple of issues. One of the issues is that there are 13 lots recent that have just had a sewer installation, but the sewer line is a 1.5-inch line where each residence has to buy a grinder pump in order to push our sewerage into that 1.5-inch because the city did not have an interest in building a pumping station. So we're going to be pumping our sewerage into a 1.5-inch sewer pipe with a grinder pump under pressure. So the question comes, if we did go to D10 and everyone built to the maximum allowable with the D10 would allow, that it would be questionable whether the sewer system could even absorb that. The second issue is traffic. Just since that meeting in July, we've had two accidents, one actually with an overturned car in my driveway. Late at night, he rolled it and he ran, and there was alcohol involved. We did. I woke up that morning, 2:20 in the morning, and I met the police, and my neighbor was with me. He rolled that car coming around a corner heading towards Ock Lake from the city. There was just another traffic accident that my wife and I actually witnessed where a truck was towing a front-end loader and completely went out of control, went into the other lane, and there was a single lady in a car who just narrowly escaped being killed by that vehicle. The traffic is 50 miles an hour, I believe, and the six of us residents that were here on the Planning Commission, we're questioning whether whether that road at that point can handle the traffic that we're seeing there. We're seeing people speeding. There's a double line that I really can't even turn into my driveway without having to go all the way down to Ock Lake, turn around, and come back. So the view from our land, we have a view that can see all the way to Ock Lake, but we have visibility going towards town that is probably 50 yards, if that. So we have no visibility coming out of our land heading towards town, but we do have the visibility, I think, of the 400 feet seeing towards the Ock Lake. It's very difficult to come out of our driveway. We did apply for a permit for a driveway for our land, and we were denied for a permit because they said we had no view. They said we did not have the required view to have an additional driveway. So my family shares an easement with my neighbor, who is also one of the lots here. So that area couldn't even substantiate a driveway for me, so I didn't have to use my neighbor's land. But we're talking about how many additional units would be placed there. I don't know if there's been a traffic study, whether the land that's in question going to D10 can be absorbed by that traffic. We don't know. So we're here to ask that we change from the D1 to the D3 and not go as far as a D10. We don't think that area can substantiate that kind of buildup, but we also were never intending to build more than one residence on our lot. We have no use for any more than one. So I'm here on behalf of my family and the other residents who were present in July who voiced their opinion that we maintain going from D1/D10 to D3 and not go to D10. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Franco. Are there any questions for Mr. Franco? Seeing none, thank you, sir. Is there anybody else in the public who wishes to comment on this? Welcome. Okay, we need your name and address first.
My name is David Cunette, and I'm at 10785 Glacier Highway, which is also one of the lots that will be affected by this rezone. If you don't mind, I'll just read here. I understand this rezone was requested by one of the owners of the property so they can build a new house for their mother-in-law. The city is not usually in the business of making unfair exceptions to the rule for the benefit of one citizen. Especially when that exception will hurt other citizens. I'll get into that later here, why that will hurt the other neighbors on this road. I'm well aware of the fact that the city doesn't make exceptions because I have a family here in town that wants to put another house on their property in another part of Juneau. The lot in question is zoned and large enough for up to 5 homes, but the driveway is only 50 feet wide, 10 feet too short, and the city wouldn't make an exception for that. And here we're trying to rezone a whole area of lots just to make an exception for one particular landowner. The city also supports exceptions to the rules also be harmonious to the less of the neighborhood. This rezone is not, and we'll get into that in just a moment. The properties in question are in a very dangerous corner. You've heard testimony from the other landowner, and pretty much every other house owner on that street has written letters to the Planning Commission saying, hey, this corner is where this highway is, where our property is located, are super unsafe. And it can't handle another house being built and the traffic that goes with it. There's a lot of accidents there, and it's not a well-designed highway access area. Where we all access off of Glacier Highway. You guys, so you're familiar where this is. This is in front of Auk Lake. So if you're going down Peterson Hill back towards Auk Lake, there's this corner where you see at night, you'll see a little arrows, the yellow guardrail arrows. It just comes at you all of a sudden as you're going downhill. Just a really, really unsafe corner. Anyway, so you've heard testimony from pretty much everybody, and letters were written to that effect. There shouldn't be any more houses built there. The city had this transitioned as these zones were put in as D1 transitioning to D10 upon further, improvements. I don't think those improvements were done, and the Planning Commission meeting, I don't think, looked at everything that needed to be looked at for those lots to be rezoned. If the neighbors want to build a place for their mother-in-law, then there's current laws that are meant for that, mother-in-law apartments, or they can get a variance for just their lot so that they can get another house just on their lot. They can still build, but I don't think that whole area needs to be rezoned just for them to be able to build a new house. So I guess I'll just close with, unless the city wants to put in a precedent to change the rules for one neighbor, then I don't recommend that this is not adopted. Hope you guys understood that.
Thank you. Is there any questions?
Thank you.
Seeing none, thank you very much.
Sir. Thank you very much.
Okay, is there anybody else in the public who wishes to comment on this ordinance? You're welcome. It's okay. Welcome.
I'm Gail Cheney. We're at 10763 Glacier Highway. I do want to make a little bit of a response to the last testimony you heard from my husband. He gave a really good kind of description of where we're at. When we purchased the land, we looked at the D1, D10 specifically, with the option to be able to build a home for my parents, and we actually looked at just building one home, and then the sewer option came in, and we've been really looking at from the very beginning how we could live together with my parents, because I do not want to be one of those kids that's got to travel all over when I need to take care of people. I think just by having kind of the land labeled as it was going to transition to D10, which I do think is unsafe. And I think, when people purchase property and they expect some of that change to come through with the addition of the sewer, we should be able to expect some of that change. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Are there any questions?
Thank you.
Seeing none, thank you very much, ma'am. Okay, anybody else? All right, we will close public comments and move to assembly action. Assembly members?
Mr. Mayor, this is Warren.
Mr. Jones, go ahead.
Thank you. I would move ordinance 2015-36 and ask unanimous consent.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Are there any objections?
Question.
Question.
Ms. Troll?
Yeah, it's not an objection, just a question, if I might.
That's fine.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Direct this to staff and or our Planning Commission liaison. And I did not have a chance to read the Planning Commission minutes, so curious to know if the concern about the traffic and the hazardness is why the Planning Commission went to a D3 instead of D10 in their deliberations.
And I'll ask Ms. McKibben to please come up and answer your question.
it was based on that public testimony that they made their recommendation to the assembly.
And the testimony was similar to what we heard today, the concern about the traffic and the incidence of accidents and all of that?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Akil?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. McKibben, a couple of questions. Since the Lands Committee looked at this, I'm trying to get my brain back to the conversation at that meeting. The transitional zoning, D1 transition to D10, what was the triggering action for that transition? Was it the pressure sewer or something else? Can you help me with that?
The intention behind the transition zones is they will transition to the higher density when the water and sewer services are available, which is why these three lots weren't included with the transition zone a few years ago on the other side of the highway there, because the sewer installation wasn't complete to these three lots. So because the sewer installation was complete, they were eligible to become D10, and we had an property owner of the subject property interested in increasing the density on their particular lot, which wasn't feasible without considering the transition zone.
So then if I can, a couple follow-ups.
Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. So if I can make sure I'm understanding this right, were the assembly not to agree with the Planning Commission, would the transition to D10 take place or would they remain D1? Maybe that's a question for the attorney.
Yeah. It's an interesting question.
Public comment on that? No.
No.
Thank you. Public comment is closed.
The code is unclear as to what happens in a transition zone. The code gives the Planning Commission the discretion and the authority to complete the upzone process. If the Planning Commission fails to complete the upzone process and the Assembly declines to approve the rezone request made by the Planning Commission, I think it's up to the Assembly to decide how to proceed with those parcels. You can either do it, and whether it goes to D1, reverts back to D1, or transitions, the upgrade is transitions up to D10, I think the process would be the same. You would have to make an affirmative decision as to how you want to proceed with those parcels.
Yeah, that's unclear. thank you. And then there was also a public comment, and I wanted to get a response to it, that it would be possible to vary for the Planning Commission to make some sort of decision and put two structures on this lot if it doesn't go up from the D1 zoning somehow.
You can't vary density, so getting a variance to density to add a unit wouldn't be possible. It might be possible that they might get approval for an accessory apartment. I don't know the specifics about this lot or their proposal to know if that's an option.
Okay. So, like I said, that covers all my questions. Mr. Mayor, I would say as we talked about this at the Lands Committee, the other issue that I remember we talked about a fair amount was that part of the properties we're talking about is split by a line in the comprehensive plan map. And so part of this area is in medium density and part of this area is in low density. And I don't necessarily know about the rest of the committee, but because you can't vary density because of the traffic concerns and because part of this, the comprehensive plan calls on for low, that was why I ended up supporting this Planning Commission proposal at the Lands Committee. So I think I'll be a yes vote tonight. I have no objection.
So the transition from D1 to D3?
Yes, the proposal before us.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments? Any objections? I'll object. Object then. Okay, and I don't need to speak to my objection. I think everybody knows how I feel about when we have land that's available to upzone. We should be doing that for our housing issues, and that's my concern. So if we can have a roll call on this one, please.
Yep.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Troll?
Yes.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mayor Sanford?
No.
Motion carries.
Thank you. So we'll move forward to unfinished business. Madam Manager, any? Seeing none, we'll move forward to new business and a contract with AAMP for work at Stettler Harbor.
Yes, the Stettler Harbor Launch Ramp Project requires repositioning of an AOMP power pole and associated realignment of power conductors along Glacier Highway. In such cases, AOMP performs the work but charges the party requiring the changes. AOMP has been in the engineering phase of the project and recently provided a cost estimate for the work required. Before AOMP begins work, the docks and harbors will need to sign a contract for the amount of the work. The work estimate The estimated cost is $133,488.37. I recommend approval of this contract.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Any questions for the manager on this? Assembly action? Ms. Gladyszewski?
I would move that we approve the contract AOMP to the Stettler Harbor Launch Ramp Project.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Move forward to item B, regulation.
The Docks and Harbors Board at its July 30th, 2015 regular meeting elected to approve amendments to 05 CBJ AC 20, the small boat harbor fees, and 05 CBJ AC 45, small boat harbor and port facilities use regulations. The proposed amendments were also discussed at the Harbor Fee Review Committee meeting as early as January 14, 2015, and were approved by the Docks and Harbors Standing Committees, Planning Operations Committee, and Finance Committee. The proposed amendments are part of a broad review by the Docks and Harbors Board to update the fees and regulations affecting both the Docks Enterprise and the Harbor Enterprise. No public comments were received at the July 30th, 2015 Docks and Harbors public hearing or during the required 21-day public comment period prior to public hearing. CBJ 016260 provides that regulations be presented to the Assembly for review. Taking no action constitutes approval of the regulations with an effective date of 7 days following adoption. The Assembly may not amend the regulations if the Assembly disapproves the regulations, it shall return the regulations to the agency and may state the reasons for its disapproval, but shall not establish explicit conditions for substantial approval or direct particular amendments of the regulation. Alternatively, the Assembly may direct the matter be prepared as an ordinance or resolutions for consideration. My recommendation is orders of the day.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there any questions for? Is there any objections to orders of the day? Mr. Jones, you have anything?
No, I was going to move orders of the day.
Okay. Thank you. So ordered. We'll move on to item C, senior citizens exemption late file leach. Madam Manager.
Yes, we received application for a hardship exemption. If the application was filed on time, it would be accepted. The application noted that it was late due to emergency-related medical issues. I recommend approval of this senior citizen exemption late filing application.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Are there any questions? What's the recommendations of this, Ms. Crane?
Move approval of acceptance of a late file for senior citizen exemption for the leeches.
Okay. Is there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Item D, Madam Manager.
This also was a hardship exemption late file determination. They would qualify if filed timely, and the application was filed due to age-related issues, and I recommend that the Assembly direct the assessor's office to move forward with this late file exemption.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Ms. Crane?
Would also move acceptance of a senior citizen exemption late file for Hancock.
Is there any objections? So ordered. Staff reports. Madam Manager, Airport Supplemental Agreement Number 1.
Yes, I have approved an airport supplemental for the Juneau Airport Sustainability Master Plan. As they got into work on the master plan, they realized that they needed to have an additional economic impact data, which was not available to them, and they needed that updated. The contractor that's currently working on it has the contract that is proposed on this as part of the project. If they were to go out to bid for this work, it would take more time. It would slow down the process of the master plan. It's similar to work that's already part of the scope of work for the master plan. And so my requirement is to notify you of any supplementals that I have approved that it's less than $250,000. This overall bid was $702,903. And the supplemental is for $8,500.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there any questions for the manager on this particular supplemental? Seeing none, thank you very much, Madam Manager. We'll move forward to a manager's follow-up on Assemblymember Nan Curvis's questions for July 20th.
Correct. At the July 20th meeting, Assemblyman Curvis had three questions. His first question, he wanted to know the status of the recycling baler, and that is due to arrive in mid-September and operational by the first week in October, is the plan at this point. The second question was the completion of the Centennial Hall roof. The roof is currently complete, and as of this week, the fence has come down. They still are looking at doing some work in the grass area and determining what that will look like, whether it will be a hardscaped area, whether it will go back to grass or some other thing. They will be having a public meeting on that, hopefully in the next month, to identify that. The contract original completion date for the roof was last fall, and we provided an extension to let them finish the work in early spring or early summer. Given the conditions of high winds and rains last year, they probably would not have been able to complete the work anyway and would have had to postpone. So we didn't feel that we were behind, and we'd rather have them do a roof work when the weather is more favorable to roof work. The third question Mr. Nankervis had was about the trucks and containers for biosolids that are at the Mendenhall plant. And the containers are stored and queued at the Mendenhall and JD wastewater plants and filled and taken to AML. And the city owns 65 sludge shipping containers to ensure that there are always empty ones available. And the sludge hauling hasn't been contracted out. The CBJs, we are actually renting a contractor and trailer from a local contractor. The two multipurpose roll-off trucks that CBJ owns have sufficient load ratings, but due to the number of axles, they don't meet the DOT's load limits and can't be used legally to haul the fully loaded sludge containers, which is why we have to contract out with somebody to be able to do those. So I believe, unless you have additional questions, Mr. Nankervis, that covers the three. Do you have additional questions?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. They do, but basically based on the answers, thank you for the answers. I had a question about Centennial Hall, but you answered that one. That was regarding whose fault it is, the delay. I guess it's kind of ours. So it's good to know. The old baler, what's going to happen with the old baler, recycling baler? Do we know? Are we going to sell that to somebody?
I think we'll surplus it. We'll
probably look at surplus.
Okay. Okay. Just curious.
Just for your information, when that came out at one of, like, is it your Southeast Conference or AML or something? There was about six different people, cities, who were very interested in bidding on that old baler. So there's a lot of interest in it. I don't know what the city's going to do. But.
And I thought I remember from a Public Works meeting that Mr. Pinard told us that it would be going someplace else in Southeast.
And that's what I thought. That's why I was asking that follow-up question.
We haven't determined where, and I can follow up on what that process will be, especially given that we know that there's a couple of communities that are interested in it.
No, that was, if I may, Mr. Mayor, continue. That was the plan, is just try and minimize our costs in the new baler by recouping some of the costs of the old baler. And the last question then is twofold. Is there any way to fix these trucks that we've bought that aren't legal? And if there isn't a way to fix them, is there a way to sell them? The sludge haulers.
Correct. Yes, our intention is to sell them.
Okay.
No, there isn't really a way to fix them. So it's better to go ahead and surplus them.
Okay. Thank you.
And
thank you, Mr. Mayor.
One more follow-up on the Centennial Hall thing question. A little bit of that, putting them off and letting them go a little bit longer, was because of the fact that that company went to an emergency up at the shelter last winter when the sprinkler system froze up and everything. And to let them get off of our job at Centennial Hall, there was some retrospect and thinking that, hey, we're not going to push you to get you done in the time that was written in the contract, because we know you're helping our community up there with that particular situation. And so some of that went on with that whole thing. And I think credit should be given to staff and to the company who volunteered to do some of that work for them. So,
thank you.
So you know. And you had another.
And I had one more. Assembly Member Becker asked about ADA doors at Centennial Hall. That is on the CIP list for 2017. And we are looking to see if we can find funding to try and do that work now. The doors on the back side of Centennial Hall, closest to the parking lot, really need to be replaced. And so now would be the time to replace those doors and put in automatic door openers for ADA accessibility. And it would be on the back side, similar to this building where we only have one door that's accessible, which is the one that comes in closest to the assembly chambers. We would do the same thing at Centennial Hall. We're looking at trying to get that done before 2017.
Thank you.
Okay.
On the back side, though, aren't there just steps?
No, there's a ramp.
There's a ramp that
comes up the side. Yep.
Yep. Okay. Anything else? Thank you very much, Madam Manager.
You're welcome.
And we'll move forward. I'm trying to move the city manager's evaluation forward here, everybody. And I think everybody has now read the report. Is there any objections to the city manager's evaluation moving forward? Mr. Nankervis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I object. And due to the fact that it's a personnel matter, I don't wish to speak to my objection here. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Thank you very much, everybody. And it will be an official move the evaluation forward and the pay raise that goes with it.
Thank you.
Which has already been voted on. Okay. One other thing from myself as the mayor, and maybe some of the others will talk about it. We had a transboundary border mining and fishery meeting here last week. It was very well attended by a wide variety of people and organizations, and very informative day, very informative. The state of Alaska people and Lieutenant Governor did a great job of putting the information out there and letting us look at the information. And to then, I think the next step may be towards the end of the month, a meeting when Mr. Bennett comes down from up north. There'll be five or six of his cabinet that come with him. And I see in an email today that they were asking, Lieutenant Governor's office was asking for us to sponsor a lunch or something, a get-together for them. And so staff is looking into that and see what exactly they want. I mean, is it just for six or seven of them and six or seven of us, or is it for the 100 people that were there at the meeting? I mean, the difference in price here is big, so we want to make sure we've got our ducks in a row here before we say yes. I would really enjoy us to be a sponsor for those people while they're here and be able to have the assembly there and ask questions and talk to the people from the other side on the different departments and what the work is that they do and how they think that they're protecting their fish and their environment. So we'll see how that breaks out, and I will have a message for all of you when this will happen and what we're going to be doing. So, any questions on that? So we'll move down the road here for committee reports. Mr. Jones, since you're far away, you want to give your committee report first?
Sure. The Human Resources Committee that was scheduled tonight's been was moved to the 17th. We're going to meet at 5:15, do our normal business at 6 o'clock. We'll convene as a committee of the whole to take up the Docks and Harbors vacancy. And so that will be the first meeting of the HRC since the end of June. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Public Works and Facilities Committee meeting was canceled this month. The next meeting is scheduled for August 24th at noon here in chambers.
Thank you. Ms. Crane?
I believe our next Finance Committee meeting is August the 26th.
Mm-hmm. It is?
Yep. Okay. Lots of good things on it?
Yes.
Mr. Keel.
Quite a number of things.
Mr. Keel.
All good news. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Lands and Resources Committee has its next meeting August 24th. We acted on a couple of items from our previous meeting tonight. We also have a Marijuana Policy Committee meeting this Thursday, and the Committee of the Whole acted on the recommended comments to the State Marijuana Control Board at our last or next to last Committee of the Whole meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Ms. Becker, committee reports.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A committee of the whole has met two different Mondays to discuss basically the subdivision ordinance was our major topic. And we've sent it on to the assembly for ordinance, or I guess the ordinance is already written, but for consideration. Mm-hmm. And with some additional information being requested. And our next meeting is August 24.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Liaison reports, Ms. Becker.
Okay. LASCA committee is not having any meetings in August, but we'll start again in September. Southeast Conference, again, invites everyone to the conference in Prince Rupert, September 15th to September 17th, and this will include quite a lot of discussion with state officials, and the governor is expected to be there to discuss financial conditions of the state and ferry system and so forth, a lot of topics that are of importance to all of us. And that's the main thing Southeast Conference is doing, is talking about transportation has been a big issue. The Chamber meets every Thursday, and the last Thursday they celebrated their successful golf tournament, which was something they sponsored. And I guess the community really turned out with prizes. It was pretty amazing. So did any of you go out and play golf? No? Well, I guess it was a great time, so I didn't either. But so just remember, every Thursday they have a meeting at the airport.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Anything else? Ms. White, liaison reports?
Well, JCBB is having a very busy season. Their next meeting is tomorrow, which will actually be a finance committee meeting. I had hoped that our airport manager would take care of my liaison report for that, but our next meeting is Wednesday. And hopefully that will be the last Wednesday meeting. The very first thing on the agenda is trying to come up with a better meeting date so that I can attend all their meetings. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. White. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The school board has a meeting tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm going to jump the gun just a little bit because the UAS Campus Council hasn't been meeting over the summer, but we're all very much looking forward to the start of the coming school year. It's already August. We're already starting to think in that vein. And I'm going to jump the gun in mentioning that the governor's community picnic is this Friday, the 14th, and I mention it here because it's at the University of Alaska campus, UAS campus, this year, not its past location of Sandy Beach. So it should be a wonderful time, and it's open to the public, and there'll be all kinds of free food and great fun.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Ms. Green.
Nothing further from the hospital. We heard from them last week at the COW meeting. I would say I'm next week attending the Alaska Municipal League's summer meeting in Ketchikan, where we also will be dealing with the state's fiscal issues and getting ready for our agenda for the legislature for next session.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Green. Ms. Podolsky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Parks and Rec Advisory Committee did not have a meeting in August, but their next meeting is September 1st at 6 p.m. here in the chambers. The Local Emergency Planning Committee meets next in 2 days, on Wednesday, August 12th. And I'll mention it here, and I'll mention it again next time, but their preparedness expo there that happens in June will be in September 11th and 12th at Centennial Hall. So everyone is invited to that, and I'll mention that again next time to remind folks.
Ms. Pearl.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Affordable Housing Commission met on Tuesday, August 4th. They spent most of their time reviewing the priorities that are part of the Housing Action Plan, really pushing for the consultants to give sort of real-life examples around their key recommendations. The commission is definitely pushing to have more documentation on the numbers that they're generating as to, you know, well, where did that come from? So the Affordable Housing Commission is very much engaged, and we will be getting the report was originally supposed to be done at the end of August, and it's now sliding toward the end of September. So we will be getting a review of that sometime in our committee of the whole. The Housing Commission also reviewed a little bit of the mobile home program. I guess there were some little legal issues to be resolved, no showstoppers there. Let's see, the Juneau Commission on Sustainability meets this week, Wednesday. They had a problem getting a quorum earlier, so they'll be meeting on Wednesday, and I will be attending that. And then the Tongass Advisory Committee will be having a meeting with Governor Walker on August 18th to present our recommendations and talk about how it relates to the state forestry programs and things, and I will be attending that meeting as well.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Docks and Harbors had their last meeting at the same time we had our Finance Committee meeting, so none of us were able to attend. I have gotten an update from the Port Director. Regarding 16B, Fisherman's Memorial intends to file a stay on the construction mobilization for the new berths. Port Director will be drafting an affidavit in response. Douglas Harbor had a meeting in July, and 25 people attended to provide input on what's going on over there at the Douglas Harbor rebuild. Statter Harbor, Miller Construction is working with the Golden North Salmon Derby Committee on parking in that lot. If you've been out there recently, you've seen it's pretty flat now, and they're working on parking for this coming weekend Salmon Derby, which will be much appreciated. I have walked all the way from the university carrying things. Don't recommend that. Thane Ore House, their proposals for use for the Thane Ore House are due August 14th. Members of the Assembly wishing to participate should contact the Port Director, who is seated in the audience tonight. Board, the Assembly, which Mr. Jones commented on, we meet August 17th to interview candidates for the seat being vacated by Dr. Logan. I would like to express my thanks to David Logan and Scott Spickler, both of which are recently stepping down for their volunteer service on the Docks and Harbor Board. The next meeting for Docks and Harbors is August 27th in room 224. Eagle Crest had a meeting on August 6th. I'm happy to report, and they were as well, that the net loss for FY15 is down to $2,767. As you recall, I think we approved $60,000 for them to pull out of their fund balance to try and address the loss, and they have gotten that down to $2,700. I think that's great, considering the year they had. They are building a road to the Hooter chairlift, and that is 99% finished. Mountain bike trail is under construction. They're working on getting a mountain bike trail up there, and it is under construction. I couldn't tell you how far it's under construction, but it is under construction right now. This year, they will put a fourth snowmaker online, and this should increase their snowmaking ability by 33%. Mm. With that, they think they can get Hooter. I think I'm going to get the name of the lifts wrong, but I think that was the name of the lift they might be able to get operable, even if we don't get much natural snow. Good sign. Good sign. Their next meeting is scheduled for September 3rd at 5:30 in room 224. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. And just a follow-up, you talked about 16B. Does law department have anything to say to us about 16B in
no.
that remark?
Yeah, Mr. Wyrock contacted our office and did tell us the same thing that he would be filing. I will send you a follow-up with my thoughts.
Okay. Well, in the near future, as things progress on that issue, if you would keep us informed, it would be interesting. Thank you. Okay, we'll move forward to Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Troll reported on the JADC in July. Did not meet in August. Their next meeting is scheduled for September 2nd. Following up on Ms. Becker, at the chamber lunch this Thursday, the executive director of the Juneau Economic Development Council will be reporting on the visitor survey 2015. It's a survey they do on behalf of the Alaska Committee to look at those business visitors that come to Juneau during the legislative session. And so that will be the topic at the chamber lunch this Thursday. The Planning Commission, I missed most of July. I did attend the last meeting, nothing going on. They are meeting again tomorrow night, but I'll be on the plane, and so I won't be there. The Downtown Business Association canceled their July meeting due to a lack of quorum. Their next meeting is scheduled for August 27th. On the 6th of August, I attended, I've been invited a couple of times, but I was gone, to the new Aquatics Facilities Board. So I attended their work session on the 6th, they have four committees, I believe it's four, marketing, finance, operations, and I can't remember, board development, I think it was, four committees, they've appointed chairs. They got their first detailed look at past finances on what has been spent at both Diamond Park and Augustus Brown. From, I believe, 2005 through estimation of 2014 or 15. I wasn't able to stay the entire meeting. I did tell them that I would attend their next meeting, which is August 18th at 5 p.m. I think it's in room 224. Since this is a new empowered board in the form that it's in, I would just remind the mayor that maybe after the election we need to make sure it has a more formal liaison, but I'm more than happy to sort of do that between now and October. So I will, I wasn't there for the entire meeting, but I wanted to let people know that they're up and running and working really hard. They actually met out at the Diamond Park Aquatics Facility and all the board members were there. One by phone. And then I guess I'll just mention it now instead of during assembly comments. I'm in Anchorage for the Marijuana Control Board. We finished our first day. We'll go again tomorrow and finish up, and I will return back to Juneau on Tuesday night. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Madam Manager, presiding officers' reports. We only have one thing out there, as far as I know, for presiding officers, and that's the Bicknell situation. And wherever you want to take us with that, it's up to you, Madam Law, I guess.
The way the code provides that after the hearing officer distributes the decision to the parties have a period of time to object, and then if there is an objection filed to respond, There was an objection filed, so that we're in the response time period. If everything is done in time for the August 24th meeting, that's the meeting it'll be put on before you for your decision.
And so, Madam, Ms. Mead, when do we get the report? Besides, I know where to go and get it, or some of it right now, but in the notice of decision and everything, that's not officially to us yet, because
you will get it once everything is complete, okay. So you don't have more time with one objection versus the other. So you'll get the complete package. This is different than when the assembly is hearing its own appeal and you have a draft decision that you review before it gets sent out to the parties. Mm-hmm. So you'll get the complete package when it's done.
Yeah, so it's definitely a different process than what we're used to. I don't necessarily know whether I like it or not today. Ms. Becker.
So when you said the 24th, what did you say we would be doing on the 24th?
I'm sorry, it was the 31st. It gets set on the first regular assembly meeting following the filing of all of the objections and responses.
I'm glad I wrote that in pen or in pencil. Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions on that? Okay, and we don't have anything else pending that way. I don't know why. Okay, we will move forward to assembly comments and questions. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have one. Thank you for checking into the handicap door openers. Now I have another one for you from citizens, especially elderly and handicapped. Both have mentioned this to me. They are requesting that at Thanksgiving time there be a city bus available because otherwise they can't get to the hangar where there's a free dinner.
I think it's a great opportunity for community groups to provide the funding for us to be able to bring a bus on board or to work with the tour companies to have somebody provide a shuttle bus for that process.
Look into that, will you, Ms.?
We need to encourage that. We need to encourage
that. It's been brought up before.
Has it been?
Okay. It has, yes.
Okay. Anything else, Ms. Becker?
No, thank you.
Okay. Ms. White.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. He's not here to hear it, but Chief Johnson was very proactive on a situation and a citizen complaint over the weekend, and I was quite surprised to, on a Saturday night, to receive an email back from him at about 9:30 p.m., and he did a good job of making me look really proactive, so just want to throw it out there that he's did a really good job.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. White. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I had the opportunity this past, I guess Friday it was, to speak with the Downtown Improvement Group about some of the coming marijuana policy decisions that will affect the downtown as well as the rest of the community, and was pleased to see Ms. Crane, Ms. Becker, Mr. Nankervis, and Mr. Jones there. I think we had a full quorum of the assembly, but it was a good meeting and a lot of good comments and discussion with the assembled group.
Mr. Keel, I hope you weren't making any decisions at that meeting.
No decisions got made. In fact, I was just going to say good discussion that will help inform the discussions of the Marijuana Policy Committee in all its publicly noticed meetings and recommendations to the Planning Commission and full assembly, in publicly noticed meetings. And then the other thing I wanted to mention was that this last weekend, on Saturday evening, Mr. Jones and I had the opportunity to attend the Filipino community's annual scholarship awards, where they give students actually as young as middle school their members scholarships for their future education, and it is an incredible event from a remarkable group. They really make an impressive investment in their young people's futures, And as I started sort of doing a mental tally in my head of what that group raises and contributes to their kids' education, I was floored. It's really remarkable, and they deserve big kudos for that. So I wanted to say that publicly. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Ms. Craig?
Nothing this evening.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
I just wanted to congratulate local chef Bo Spooler for his incredible win at the Great American Seafood Cook-Off, putting Alaska and Juneau on the map. So that's just was great to see.
Made sea salt out of the bones. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. Ms. Troll.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First off, I'd like to compliment the work that Ms. White and Mr. Keel put into making sure that our ordinance on daycare moved along quickly. I know for a lot of people it seemed like government moved slowly, but we actually, I think, passed a very significant ordinance, and I just really applaud the teamwork that was shown here to get that forward. We have more to do to help solve the daycare effort. I'll assist you as well there, but kudos there. And a note for Ms. Becker, as you've been very involved in the Seward statue, that this week is championship week on Jeopardy, and the question for Final Jeopardy was about a state that had a special holiday honoring a person from Ohio. So the answer was Alaska, Seward's Day.
Yes.
So.
Did it say to send donations?
No, we didn't. We didn't. Fortunately, I had no idea that that was coming up, you know, otherwise.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Kroll. Anything else? Mr. Nan Curvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you to the manager's office regarding Channel Drive and the parking down there. The signs have already been changed by DOT, and every time I've gone by there, there has been somebody in there, and sometimes it's me. But there have been people down there parking and fishing down there, and I think that's great. So the Fisheries Development Committee asked us to look into that, and it's taken us a while, but we've gotten something done, and that's great. And I also wanted to just tell everybody to go out and catch some fish this weekend. The Golden North Salmon Derby is coming up. Everybody should have fun. Everybody be safe. Leave just a couple for me and my net.
Thank you, Mr. Nanker. It was Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a couple more things. I will be also going to the AML meetings down in Ketchikan next week, partly because the executive director of the ABC Brewer Marijuana Control Board will be down there talking to AML, and found out that the other representative on the marijuana board, who's a city council member out in Bethel, won't be at AML, so I think it's important that one of us is there anyway. And then also the after tomorrow's meeting, the next formal meeting of the Marijuana Control Board will be in Kotzebue on September 14th. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Jones. We'll move forward with continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Seeing no public here, public participation is closed. We have no executive session tonight. Is there any reason not to adjourn?
No, sir.
We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.